Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. That phrase, the Good Shepherd, carries a lot of weight. In the Greek, both words carry a definite article. No way, you say? Indeed, they do. And what that means is that each word in and of itself possesses great importance, great power. Jesus as the shepherd is unique. There are no other shepherds that even come close in comparison to him. He is it. He is the shepherd. But not only is he the shepherd, which would be good enough by itself, but he is the good one. Good in this context means the goodness of God, our Heavenly Father, perfection, purity, selflessness. When God says that he is good, he's not merely describing who he is. He is declaring what goodness is. Goodness is God. All goodness comes from God alone. And without God, nothing is good. And so Jesus, as the shepherd, he is the good one. There are none better. There are no better shepherds out there. What is difficult today, however, is that there are not many shepherds out there anyway, especially not in the way that they were in Jesus' day. If something big were to happen, would you go and broadcast it to shepherds out in the fields nearby? Where would you go to even find such shepherds as the angels did the night of Jesus' birth? See, very few people today make a living tending to sheep in the way that shepherds of the Bible did, especially here in this country and others like it. So with that being the case, the statement of Jesus being the good shepherd just won't mean that much to most people. That does not mean Jesus' title as the good shepherd is irrelevant. But in order to fully grasp the importance of Jesus as the good shepherd, the good one, more needs to be known about the sheep. What most people know about sheep, they're not smart animals. They need a shepherd because without one, they will be in serious trouble. Without a shepherd, they will wander away from the flock. Without the shepherd, they would not know where to go to find their food. Without the shepherd, the sheep would be easy targets for their predators. And so in the Bible, God compares his people to a flock of sheep. But he does not do so in a belittling type of way. Rather, that is an apt comparison for us who are the creatures before the Almighty God. And the very fact that he considers himself our shepherd with great love for his sheep is truly astounding. Just like that shepherd truly cares for the sheep even more so, does God the Heavenly Father care for all of his people? Psalm 78:52 says, "He led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock." Words of love and care. Psalm 95, verse 7, we hear, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." When it comes to sinfulness and our willingness to embrace it, however, then the reality of our sinful stupidity as sheep comes home. The prophet Isaiah brings that to light in his 53rd chapter. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. So like sheep in our sin, we do not stay with the flock. We do not know where to be properly fed. And we are easy prey for our predators. Thankfully, God does not allow us to remain that way. For you, He has chosen to be His own, His flock, the waters of holy baptism. In that gracious act, He put the seal of Jesus on your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as those redeemed by Christ the crucified. And filled with His Holy Spirit, He now encourages you to remain here with His flock. Our gracious God teaches you that your faith in Jesus is fed through the word preached and His sacrament received in these very walls. That precious word and sacrament, the means of grace, they give you the protection of the armor of God to ward off the attacks and the blows of the devil, of the world, of your own sinful nature. This kind of care for His people is the very standard of God. The shepherd and the sheep imagery is a favorite of the Lord God as revealed through the prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, and Zechariah. It's no surprise then that Jesus would continue on with that very same imagery with those groups of His fellow Jews gathered around Him in such great number, many of whom were well acquainted with the life and the style of living of a shepherd, and also very normal understanding of the life of sheep. But not to mention their familiarity with God's prior use of that same shepherd and sheep imagery. When Jesus lays claim Himself of that title of Good Shepherd, He's going with that illustration another level further. He says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." A hired hand would weigh out his own safety, his own well-being, more highly than that of the sheep. These words would strike especially hard against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the chief priests of the Jewish people. They were the ones tasked with that spiritual care of the people of God there in Israel. Jesus knew that the majority of those religious leaders were only in it for themselves. They were able to direct the people of God in a way that those religious leaders would benefit greatly from their positions of power and authority, even spiritually. They were more and more the ones being served, and less the ones serving others. And when push would come to shove, they would quickly abandon the sheep to save their own lives, their own ways of living, their own selves. Anyone who quickly abandons the Christian faith and those they are supposed to guide in that faith can be seen as this type of hireling. How quickly do we flee from the teaching of the gospel of Jesus? Do we stand up for the Christian faith when it comes under attack? Quickly, for the first question, and yes, for the second. By God's good power and by His design, thanks be to God, the Christian faith does not depend on our ability to defend it. Rather, our faith, the Christian faith, depends on Jesus alone, the Good Shepherd. And that is why Jesus says this: the Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. But that would seem, to common sense, a great mistake. Giving up one's life to protect sheep would actually leave them alone, leave them in greater danger. For with the shepherd dead, the sheep are defenseless. The wolf will snatch them. The wolf will scatter them. They will be lost. With the shepherd dead, the sheep would be doomed. That is where Jesus, the good shepherd, rises above the rest. His death for the sheep is actually the best thing for them. Jesus said, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Other shepherds can certainly die for their sheep, but no other shepherd can live again for their sheep. But Jesus alone can lay down his life for all the sheep, and Jesus alone can take up his life for all the sheep again. Jesus alone can raise himself from the dead. Jesus was able to raise others from the dead throughout his ministry, but the greatest resurrection miracle of them all is Jesus' own resurrection of himself. That is why this passage from John chapter 10 has been included in every church lectionary for the season of Easter. Jesus, the good shepherd, did die on the cross for all of his sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, did rise again from the dead for his sheep. He laid down his life for his sheep, and he took up his life again for his sheep. That is Jesus being the shepherd. That is Jesus being the good one. For that reason, there is no better shepherd. Thanks be to God, he has seen fit to make you his sheep. You know him, and he knows you. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.